What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 278 on this Monday, June 15th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy, Brody Lusk here with you on a Monday. We're catching up on a bunch of recruiting stuff. We haven't had a recruiting show in about a week and a half. A lot has happened. Two new commits, two recent decommits, another big visit weekend. We're going to wrap it all up, give you everything you need to know, catch everyone up on all the things recruiting-wise for Oklahoma in the last week and a half or so on the program today. A busy Recruiting Monday show. We shifted the schedule around a little bit. I'm obviously in Omaha for the College World Series. Tom and I will have a show later in the week. We'll recap all the goings-on here with the baseball team. Then they play Georgia tonight in the winner's bracket. But we'll do that later in the week, kind of shifting things around, hit some recruiting stuff on the show today with Colin and Brody. Before we do that, though, reminder, subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use that promo code on your screen on YouTube, SoonersPod60. If you're listening on podcast, that'll get you a 60% discount to a VIP membership to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Take advantage of it. Be with us every single day at Sooners Illustrated. All right, fellas. Good to see you guys. Didn't do a show later this week. Like I said, I'm in Omaha. You guys, camp season is behind you guys. Now you're just plowing through the visits. Everything going good? First time we chatted in a little bit.
It's great, man. Obviously, shout out to Oklahoma for the camp season stretch. Brody and I, the rest of the beat, the access there is incredible. Getting to see a lot of people and meet a lot of prospects was awesome. Josh, as you know, shout out to TCU and SMU. Got out there this summer as well. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, one of my favorite episodes we've ever done was the TCU Closet podcast.
Yeah. People just kept coming in.
These employees, like, workspace. So got back out there to those programs. Awesome staffs. Shout out to SMU and TCU again. And, you know, now we're back. We got a lot to talk about, man. I got two drinks on the show today.
Beautiful.
We're back in the mix of things and excited to talk ball, man.
All right, well, let's do get into it. Let's start with the two commits. We'll start with the good, then we'll kind of hit some of the bad stuff that's happened, and then we'll kind of recap some of the updates of some guys that we're going to be keeping an eye on here coming up after the last weekend. Let's go with Malon Green to start. Wide receiver commit, Missouri product. You know, and we'll talk more about it in a minute. They need a receiver, right? I mean, they lose a couple, and again, we'll dive more into that in just a little bit. But they needed a receiver. They get it done. Malon was in town. They lock it down. Colin, I'll let you know, kind of tee things off with Green and Brody. Obviously, I want to get your thoughts as well. But adding him to the mix here, what's you know, we haven't really talked about him, I don't think, at all on the show before. So just kind of everything, like, what kind of a player is it? How did Oklahoma get this done? Just all of it as Oklahoma makes a wide receiver add, obviously yesterday morning with Malon Green.
Yeah. So the important thing to note here, right off the top, is that Malon Green is someone a lot of people are trying to figure out and have been for quite a while. And why is that? Well, he actually did not play at all last season, so he has no junior tape available. He was ruled ineligible after transferring from his former high school to his new program. And so nothing really to do with him, just transfer rules. We know how that goes sometimes in the high school space to this day. And so Malon Green was forced to sit out. And he entered this offseason knowing that he kind of had to make the most of it, right? Everything was reliant upon what he did in camps, in combines, on campuses in front of various staffs. And following the 2025 season, Oklahoma was one of the programs that had planned to monitor him into this pivotal stretch in his career. So Malon Green actually visited Norman for OU spring game. He was in town for that event that weekend. Oklahoma got around him. They kind of started the recruiting process really at that point, seeing him in person, getting to know him a little bit. But I think following that, it was a matter of, all right, just how much are we convicted in the evaluation with no tape? And then also, like, what's going to happen at receiver? Because at the time, it was pretty much known three receiver spots were going to be occupied. Again, more on that in a second. But changes struck. All of a sudden, Malon Green makes a little bit more sense. And here we are today, Malon Green part of the class, because he goes to the Under Armour St. Louis Combine, tests really well, looks good. they send out that tape in terms of the drill work, the one-on-ones, they send that out to a ton of college programs. So there is at least some video available from that. And then you go into this summer, and what really sealed the deal between Malmgren and Oklahoma was he gets on campus for one of these prospect camps. There are spots available at wide receiver. And the next thing you know, Malmgren is working out in front of OU's front office and coaching staff, knowing that there's an offer on the line. He could earn the opportunity he had long wanted within that moment. And Malmgren delivers. He gets the offer as they're walking away from the day. And that was basically a done deal after that. Now, waits a little bit to go on his OV, make the announcement official, but really cool story, Brody. One that reminds you of the good old days in the recruiting process sometimes. A guy that comes out of nowhere, earns his opportunity, and is really fired up to be part of a class. This is a guy that I think a lot of Oklahoma fans will really enjoy getting to know, and I know that Malmgren is really happy with the way his path led him to Norman.
Yeah, I think with Malmgren, you know, you lose the two commits at wide receiver to go in and then quickly get another one on board very quickly. I think that's huge for Oklahoma. You know, just how quickly that they were able to get this one done. Obviously, it remains to be seen like what his senior tape will look like and how good of a prospect Malmgren will end up being. But for him to go to camp, perform well enough to get the offer, and then you get him on campus for an official visit and you lock it down Sunday morning. I think it's good for them, not just from a number standpoint of getting another receiver on board, but I mean, I kind of think this was in a way similar to the Jacoby Dixon recruitment. I mean, you know, once the offer went out, you just kind of seen that this was probably Oklahoma all the way. So good to see them get that done.
And I wanted to add too,
go ahead.
Josh, just a little bit about the player. Glad we got you back, by the way. Hopefully.
I dropped out for like a minute and a half. I think this Omaha hotel Wi-Fi just completely stopped. I'm on a hotspot. Yeah, I've worked fine since I've been here. Right, we do a pod.
I was like, all right, let me tell the full Malmgren story while we make sure we get our host back. But now I'll just quickly here on the back end say that there's a lot of reasons why you like the player even without the tape, as Brody mentioned. I think that this is kind of a dynamic athlete, a player who could make a lot of plays out of the slot, can do some damage in the yards after catch department. I think he is someone who can kind of be that gadget type player for you. Maybe you find ways to get him into the backfield, get him into space, screen game, things of that nature. But with the ball in his hands, there's a lot to like. And on top of the fact that I think he's kind of a twitchy, wiggly type of slot receiver, chip on the shoulder too, which you love when you're getting someone with the athletic ability and motivation in your program.
What do you guys think of the combo with him and Howell? You know, I mean, we're going to talk more about it. You lose the other two guys you had in the class, but now you have these two. And the obvious other question, do you think another receiver? Maybe not. Where are you kind of at with the receiver recruiting right now for Emmett in this class right now with Green in the boat at this point now?
I would think you would look for a third receiver, but if you can't find one, okay. I mean, you're probably good going with two. I mean, I think you have to look at who are they losing in their wide receiver room for sure next year? Isaiah Cetania, Trell Harris, right? Those are really the two, and they're both, you know, the smaller receiver type. Your taller guys, Parker Livingston, Jaden Petit, those guys they have more eligibility. So when you see Graydon Howell and Malmgren a little bit on the shorter end as far as wide receivers, I think it makes sense with who you're losing to bring in those body types. As far as the third receiver, I wouldn't be shocked if that was more of a taller receiver, should they be able to find one that, you know, is worth taking. So that's kind of how I see it. I think it's a good combo with what they're losing to bring in, kind of fill the losses of some other guys. So I would be interested to see what happens with the third receiver spot, because right now I don't really know where that would go. I think that's just going to be something that kind of happens leading up to signing day.
Yeah, and it was interesting. The same day that Malmgren was camping at Oklahoma, OU also brought in Audric Williams, who is a 2027 wide receiver that is every bit of like 6'3", tall, long, bigger framed athlete that also tried to earn his offer that same camp day. Malon Green gets the offer. Ajik Williams goes back to his neck of the woods, still kind of on the evaluation board. So OU did kind of indicate that it was interested in extending another offer and looking into another prospect, but didn't end up pulling the trigger on Ajik Williams. I think the other thing that's worth noting here around this time is Daniel Yebit, the dynamic two-way athlete out of UConn, right, was also at that camp. That day was awesome. And I found it really interesting that Daniel Yebit initially is going through everything and then at one point goes over to the receivers. And I actually asked him, hey, you know, I thought you're more of a corner. And he's like, they told me, hey, come get some looks at receiver real quick. So they were looking at him as well as a tall, longer, dynamic athlete who could be a corner and a receiver. I think Oklahoma's, the long and short of it is, like, I think Oklahoma's open to exploring a third wideout take. But I don't know that they are fully prepared to pull the trigger on somebody just yet. So, number one, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of let this thing bleed out into the fall and maybe see who stands out on senior season tape. And number two, I mean, I don't know that it's 100% a guarantee they take a third wide receiver if they look around, say, don't necessarily love the bigger body options. But, hey, as we know, receiver options are plentiful in the era of the transfer portal.
Talk about Daniel Yebit real quick. I mean, he showed up to camp. I thought that was very noteworthy. And the latest 247 Sports ratings update, he's number 131. And from UConn, in-state kid, you know, what is it about him? Why hasn't he got the OU offer, in your opinion? And how do you see him as a prospect? Just because, I mean, this is a guy that is rated very highly in-state. I feel like hasn't been talked about a ton just because he hasn't got the OU offer, but shows up to camp on Tuesday. What did you think about him there, and what do you think about him as a prospect?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any secret that Daniel Yebit is one of the top athletes, not just in the state of Oklahoma, but in the country. I mean, this guy that morning is at his team workouts in UConn, and he told me he was throwing up following his workout. And then his quarterback, Zeeland Danielson from UConn, who's another, I mean, that's a guy. Basically hinted like, hey, I'm going to go to Oklahoma today for a workout at the camp. And Daniel Yebit told me, he was like, I didn't even know you did camps. So he just said, hey, can I hitch a ride with you guys and go up? Oklahoma wasn't expecting him to be there. So I think that that's number one part of it. They got an eval that they weren't necessarily prepared for. And I should say this too, you know, it can be tricky sometimes. Daniel talked about this in the story that I wrote. His parents aren't necessarily able to take him to a lot of places on their own. So it's tricky for him sometimes to go out and get in front of coaching staffs and get on these campuses and get that process going. Now, I think that Daniel Yebit is a dynamic athlete. Why I brought up the morning workouts, he showed up having puked following his team workout, had about a 2 hours notice before he shows up, and he broad jumps 10 feet. That's nuts. However, I think it's continuously very clear that Daniel Yebit is a very raw athlete. I think that there is a lot of work to do from a developmental standpoint within the confines of the actual sport. There's no questioning the athlete, but I think even Daniel Yebit would tell you, he was saying it in the story that I wrote, he shows up to this camp that he didn't even know he was going to be a part of. And he was like, I have never done any of these drills before. But he said, I wasn't afraid to fail because I'll just try to get better. I think that's Daniel Yebit in a nutshell. Like, this is someone who has a lot of work to do as a football player. There's no denying the athletic ability, but he can only get better. And because of the raw natural tools and ability, he's a highly rated prospect. I think a lot of these programs, though, are saying, well, in today's day and age, we need guys that maybe can be a little bit more prepared to play early and often at the Power Four level. Because as we know, the developmental timeline, it's not what you were typically afforded years ago. So you've got TCU, you've got Colorado, you've got Minnesota, a couple of other programs that are heavily invested in this guy. Minnesota, TCU, that like those are kind of the schools that I've heard a lot of noise from. And I think what Oklahoma does have the luxury of being able to do is say, hey, like we can still let this play out into the fall because Minnesota, TCU, I think if you were to commit there even in the next few weeks, if you do say, hey, let me go ahead and make the move, you can still push for a flip and feel relatively positive about your odds. Now, I've heard that those programs are prepared to make pretty enticing pitches, so that's to be expected, but I'm glad we got Daniel Yebit here in the show. That's kind of the summation of where we're at. I think that Oklahoma is still going to evaluate this player long-term as a true football player because they know what the athletic ability is.
Right, and you can probably see him get some more reps at even wide receiver during his senior season, see what he can do there, right, and just see how he plays out his senior year, because not a situation where you have to rush to get an offer in. I think that they could wait and just see, and then maybe add another top 150 in-state kid to their class. Yeah. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see kind of how this drags out leading up to signing day in November.
And I quickly want to say here too, like personally, I think I like him a little bit more as a corner. I usually lean DB as a recruiting guy myself, but as time went on during the camp, it's important to note, he kind of just trickled into that cornerback group and made plays in one-on-ones. And some of the current OU players were looking at me going, yeah, like I can tell why he's highly rated. But I think that because of not only number one, is he a really raw natural athlete? Number two, he's probably a little bit more corner than wide receiver. OU's more in need of a receiver right now than corner for several obvious reasons, which is another hurdle that would have to be overcome for the offer to come through.
It's a really crazy story. I Colin did a great job. I suggest people go read it or as soon as Illustrated. Like Colin said before, he just showed up at the camp, didn't know he was coming. He didn't know about it. It was on a whim, basically. And like Brody said, this is a top 150 player in the country, and he's just down the road at UConn. So kind of a crazy thing, and maybe a partnership, a pairing that happens down the road. We'll find out. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on it in due time. But good stuff there. They get Malon Green. Obviously, like I said, second receiver in the class to go with Howell after they lost a couple. We'll get more into that in a second. I want to first hit the other commit, though, before we do that, with Jackson Lawler on the offensive line. Guys, unlike wide receiver, they have a ton of offensive linemen. Lawler is the sixth guy, I believe, unless I'm missing one, in the class. He jumps into the boat, Amarillo, Texas native. Brody, I'll go to you first in terms of – and I want to hear from both of you guys on this, obviously, but obviously the player and what made Oklahoma want to get him, but also – Why another offensive lineman? Why a sixth guy? This class is really big. We talk about the elite talent at the top of Penny and Hackett, and they've just been filling it out after that with more and more guys. Is it just a numbers game? Why so many offensive linemen in this class? You guys can both kind of get into both of that, but talk about Jackson Lawler a little bit and what made Oklahoma want to bring him in.
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, you really have to improve this offensive line depth. I mean, this year, I think it's really good, the top five, six guys. But after that, it's really like, who is it going to be? So I think it's this, you know, let's rebuild the offensive line through the high school ranks and take six guys who are going to be able to develop at Oklahoma. I think Jackson Lawler, I mean, Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, this one seems like probably center is maybe where he's most likely going to be, and a little bit as a like developmental prospect. You see where he can get in a few years. I mean, we were out at camp, we saw him get the offer, and immediately he's crying tears. I mean, he was very excited to get the offer from Oklahoma. So clearly this is someone who wants to be at Oklahoma. You know, he did the camp, did an unofficial visit, got the offer, and then I believe he had a visit scheduled down the line in the fall. He went to Oklahoma State for an official visit the next weekend, and then Oklahoma said, you know what, we got to get you on campus real quick. They pushed up his official visit to June 12th. He visits, and then bang, Sunday morning. I mean, literally right after Malon Green commits, now Jackson Lawler's committed as well. Yeah. So I think it's a good, you know, another good offensive line prospect, developmental prospect, that center who wants to be at Oklahoma. You know, we saw him at camp. He performed well enough to get the offer. So I think it's good to add another to that room, especially with the top end talent they have, but also with, you know, guys like a Luke Wilson or Isaac Cochran and Jackson Lawler, who, you know, you're going to have at Oklahoma for Bill Beatembo to develop. So I think it's a good addition. It seems like he'll be a very versatile prospect that's probably going to land at center.
So I think that, you know, good for them to push his visit up and lock him in because they've wanted that sixth offensive lineman, but Corey Laga, Brian Swanson, they kind of, it didn't work out there. Laga is obviously still, that's still up in the air, but, you know, good to just go ahead and say, we want a sixth guy, we're just going to go get him.
Well, not too long ago, Oklahoma was prepared to take Gus Corsair along this current group, right? And then Gus Corsair ends up looking around elsewhere, and Oklahoma really liked Gus as a take-it center. And so I think for a while now, Oklahoma has been willing to explore options at both tackle and center. And Jackson Lawler is someone who has been a big fan of the program for a long time. And I think that, you know, we talk about this a little bit here on the show. Sometimes you really have to figure out whether or not you're going to be able to get a guy at a premium position who has a chance to stick around. And I think that Oklahoma feels really good about Jackson Lawler's odds of being part of the program long term, because he is someone who is developmental, but he's invested and he is emotionally tied to the football program. So, and he just wants to be a part of this thing. And so I think Oklahoma was excited on that front. But then you get into the prospect. I mean, Oklahoma State was really pressing for this prospect. And I know Oklahoma State was pretty bummed out, to be quite frank with you, whenever word got out that Lawler was going to Oklahoma, because yes, he's 6'3". He's verified at 267 pounds. There's a lot of growth that'll need to get done for him to be a power four caliber interior offensive lineman. But you like the natural stuff. I mean, was a Texas 3A state champion in the shot put. You really like that. Has a lengthy background in shot put and discus. That's something that you really value as an offensive lineman. Yeah. He can play three interior spots. I like some of the tape. I just think in general, this is someone that Oklahoma said, you know what? This is someone who has a shot to be a really quality depth piece with a chance to rise, maybe compete somewhere down the line. It's a lot of upside here in this take. And oh, by the way, like, he's a fan of the program. You like those kind of guys in your locker room as well. So it's a really solid win. Brody mentioned it, and I really want to emphasize this too. Like, it looked like for a little bit that Lawler was just going to end up at Oklahoma State, even after getting the offer at OU camp and crying right there on the 40-yard line. And Oklahoma decided, you know what, like, this makes too much sense. Let's get you down here, and the Sooners kind of seal the deal in a hurry.
What do you guys like about this? I mean, on paper, it looks fantastic, right? I mean, it's six offensive line on the class that we've had. Brody talked about need to kind of build a depth. Six guys, a lot of upside, highly talented. We're the that Bill Beamo has put together, because it feels great on paper. Even beyond just the volume of six guys, but a lot of talent in there. I mean, is that a fair assessment? It feels like a really, really strong group.
Yeah. Another thing that happened this week, Caden Pinion gets his fifth star in the latest 247 Sports ratings update. Yeah. I mean, like, I think that's a really good interior offensive line prospect, that guard. I think this is a really good class because you have your top end talent and Caden Penny and Cooper Hackett, but you also have, you know, Isaac Cochran, Tyson Ross, Luke Wilson, Jackson Lawler. You know, there's depth here, and I think that that's what Oklahoma is lacking right now along the offensive line. I mean, you got Noah Vest, I think will be pretty good here in the future. There's some other guys, but you really need to improve your depth and who your sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth guys are on the offensive line, especially when, you know, they're going to lose Jake Michaela next year. So, you know, you have to kind of reload a little bit, and I think that that's what they're doing. I think, you know, also, I mean, really, transfer portal offensive linemen, unless you're going to go get like a really good one, they're hard to come by for the price. And so I think that getting these guys that are going to come into high school and then 2-3 years from now, they're going to be able to play. Shoot, I mean, there's going to be a few of them that are going to be ready to contribute as a freshman. So I think it's a good balanced class. I like that they have the guys like Caden Penny, the five-star, but also they take a Jackson Lawler who they're going to be able to really develop. And you trust Bill Beatonbo with the development along the offensive line. So I think adding and kind of addressing the need for depth along the offensive line is a big thing that they've done in this class.
It's a heck of a group. And I think the other part of this as well, and I keep coming back to it, it's a group that they all want to be there. Like, it's a ton of guys who check out on the character front. There are a lot of guys from the Caden Pennies and Cooper Hackett's who are in-state guys to the Cogrins and the Luke Wilsons and the Lawlers who are a fan of the program and they're completely bought in to the program's trajectory. And we talk about the depth a lot, but taking six guys and then losing three of them to the transfer portal, all of a sudden that projected depth has gone in the blink of an eye. I think a lot of these guys have a chance to stick around because of who they are as people on top of the players. And it doesn't hurt either that a lot of them could play a couple of different positions in a pinch. So it checks out on a number of different fronts. It gives you better odds to fortify your offensive line room for a couple of years rather than just one. And I think that was a big goal for Oklahoma this offseason.
No doubt. No doubt. So good stuff. Bill Beanbo putting together quite a group. Another commit there this morning, like Brody said earlier, it was just about an hour after Milan Green. So they get two more guys in the boat. 2027 class still holding strong in the top five. We have it at number three right now. Class 24/7 Sports team rankings right up there toward the top. We'll see what they continue to do. We got some more updates to get into in a minute.
The Sooners Illustrated podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Real quick, I didn't want to put you guys on the spot. We didn't establish it before the show, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the quarterback they added as well. Lawton High, Noah Smith comes in the board, in-state quarterback that they added to their 27 group. Just real quick, I mean, Colin, you had the story on Sooners Illustrated a couple of days ago, I think it was, maybe. He jumps into the boat, kind of was a little bit like, I think I was maybe in Lawrence at the time, where it was like, where I was doing the super regional baseball, I was like, well, they added a quarterback. Like, it kind of happened seemingly out of nowhere is how it felt. I know a lot of people were excited anytime an in-state quarterback, you know, goes to Oklahoma. I know that community out there, Lawton, is very excited about it. What can you tell us, if any, you know, about Noah Smith? Obviously, I mean, I think most people understand that it's probably a depth addition. They've done this before, right? Quarterbacks who come in from in-state that are just kind of, you know, you're probably not in the cards to be the starting quarterback at Oklahoma at some point. You never know how things shake out, right? But depth addition, joins in the class in-state. Where does kind of Noah Smith fit in, and what made this happen? How did this happen for him?
Yeah, the bottom line here, this is what I want to lead off with. The 105 rule that has now gone into effect, it makes things a lot easier for Power 4 programs, especially, who can go that full 105 scholarships and essentially create the exact roster that they would prefer to have, because it allows them to offer players an actual scholarship that in the old days, if it was like, hey, we already have our quarterback spot occupied, you come in as a walk-on? Well, a player the caliber of a Noah Smith would have to turn down other opportunities, and it just wouldn't make a lot of sense. I think through the 105, Oklahoma had liked this player for a little bit, but Jameson Roberts is the quarterback, right? However, we talked about it. The QB depth as well is one that gets brought up a time or two. There's younger, talented bodies there, but Bo Bentley, and then from there, John Mateer is gone. It's an interesting group. And so for Noah Smith, he actually came to camp as well, which again, I mean, love camp season, and because you get to see stories like this. An in-state guy who was going to work out with Oklahoma State. Oklahoma was like, hey, could you come over here? Noah quickly pivots because so many people in his family are OU fans. And he talked about that a little bit in the story on our site. I encourage folks to go read it. But the long and short of it is, this is 6'3", 210-pounder from Lawton, who shows up after Oklahoma calls him and says, can you get in front of our staff? Throws it around, and Oklahoma's like, you know what? We like this guy. We think he can be part of a Power 4 roster. And so they offer him at the camp. And, I mean, it didn't take long for Noah Smith to realize a childhood dream. I mean, this is someone who grew up an OU fan, a diehard OU fan. Several people in his family are OU fans. And when that opportunity gets extended, you know, he could go play ball at Southeastern Oklahoma, Austin College, West Virginia State. Those are kind of the offers that he had on the table. And sure, you could go there, you could go play, but I think Noah just said, you know what, man, like, I've got a football scholarship to go to the University of Oklahoma. I mean, that's all he's ever really wanted. And so I really like this move by OU. I'm ecstatic for someone like Noah Smith and his family, right, to get this type of opportunity. And I think it makes a lot of sense in today's era. You know, everyone talks negatively about some of the things that are going on in college football, and I get it, but the 105 rule allows you to do some fun things with your roster management. And through the 105, Oklahoma got a guy in state who really wants to be part of this program. It's, again, really cool journey to a realized dream for Noah Smith.
I mean, even if his ceiling at Oklahoma is your third string, fourth string quarterback, right? I mean, that's still, you need to have quality depth at that position. You know, if he's able to come in and want to be there and want to be in that room, and I think that that's another huge thing. You're just getting more guys that they want to be at the University of Oklahoma. You know, this is someone who you bring in, and you shouldn't lose them in the portal after one season, right? You would think you'll stick around for multiple seasons. So good for their quarterback depth, especially when you look at the outlook, you know, very early into next year with Bo Bentley, Jameson Roberts, Whit Neubauer, Jet New. Like, you need another guy in that room. And I think Noah Smith, he is that. And so really cool story, like Colin mentioned. And I would also encourage everyone to go hear what he told Colin in the story. I mean, the quotes from that kid, good quotes. You can tell that he just wants to be at Oklahoma. Kind of the type of guy that a lot of fans can root for. So, I think it's good to add another person who would, who obviously dropped everything to come to Oklahoma. So, good addition. And like you said, with the 105 rule, fun to see how you can use your roster like this, because in the past, this is probably not a guy you land, especially if he goes out and has a good senior season and now a few, you know, bigger programs are coming after him. So I think it's a good addition.
I will say this too. I think that's a really sharp point by Brody. I like this move as well because, yeah, Noah could have gone to other programs and played as a scholarship quarterback, but also Oklahoma saying, you know what, like, we want this guy. And I should mention this too. You know, it's not a guarantee either that Oklahoma doesn't lose anybody in that quarterback room to the portal either, right? With a Jet New or a Whit Neubauer, sure, or whatever the case may be. Like, those guys could end up exploring opportunities somewhere down the line. If Noah Smith at 6'3", 210 goes out and balls out again in the senior season, and there are programs out there going, I mean, you know, maybe a G5 program or a G6 program sees Noah Smith and says, you know what, let's pull the trigger. He could easily end up there, but now you have him having to consider whether or not he truly wants to turn down the opportunity to be part of the program he's always wanted to be a part of. So I think from that standpoint as well, it's a savvy move by OU. This guy could explode in the fall. Let's just get this guy committed because we like the player and we want his type of talent in that room.
No, like you guys both said, cool story. You know, I have some Lawton connections with my work at the Oklahoma Sports Network doing high school games, and I know they're fired up out there. They're very excited. They have Power Five talent out there between Lawton High, Lawton Mack, and Lawton Eisenhower, the three high schools. But, you know, your quarterbacks at Lawton High going OU is a big deal, you know, so they're excited about it. And so it's a cool thing, and I'll be looking forward to getting to see Noah play a little bit this year because – I want to see what he looks like, you know, obviously with in fact, he's going to be playing in Norman down the road. So fun addition there. Three commits since the last show, all on offense. Let's hit some other housekeeping things before we get out of here. Let's do the decommits real quick. They did lose a pair of receivers. We talked about that. You kind of danced around it with Malon Green, where that really made it important. Like, they need another receiver, at least one, if not two, like you guys were talking about earlier. Damar DeZern and Trevon Hall both exit the class since our last show. DeZern has flipped over to Cal, which is where Jackson Stokes also is. So they have a couple of former OU guys there. And Trevon Hall ended up landing with Ole Miss. You guys can dive into whatever direction you want. Decommits are always kind of like, stuff happens, right? We talk about this the whole time. Yeah. The class was so big. It was like they have 25 guys. It was like, how many more are they going to add? We said at the time, they're going to lose some. Like, it's just the way it goes. There's too much time, you know, left until sign day. Like, stuff's going to happen. Guys are going to decommit. It's going to happen. Not ideal, I would assume, to have it happen twice in the same position group. Put them in a little bit of a tough spot. But again, guys, go whatever direction you want with DeZern and Hall as far as what happened, why you think that they end up moving on, whatever the reason may be. Take whatever direction you'd like.
Yeah, I can talk about Trevon Hall. I mean, this was different than Damari DeZern. That that situation was a whole nother thing compared to Trayvon Hall. Trayvon Hall actually didn't even notify the staff of his decision to flip. I mean, this was something they found out when he posted it. You know, they wanted to keep Trayvon Hall, even though he was taking other visits. He went to Florida, and everyone kind of thought, you know, Florida's the school to watch for him. And then he said very clearly, told me after that visit, you know, Oklahoma's above Florida. Then he goes to Ole Miss and they make a big push and he commits while on the visit. And he shut it down. No more visits. He's locked in with Ole Miss. So, this was a guy that was flirting, with other visits for a long time. I mean, Alabama, he's a Tuscaloosa kid. So if they were to pursue, they would have been very tough to beat. He had LSU, he had Florida, and then he was supposed to be at Oklahoma on June 12th. So there was kind of a thought, you know, if Oklahoma can get him on campus June 12th, you can lock him in for a second time and then shut it down, right? But he just committed to Ole Miss before that even happened. Again, this was one that Oklahoma wanted to keep him. But the kid just decided, you know, Ole Miss is where he wants to be. It was a little surprising, but at the same time, not surprising because you just kind of knew that Trayvon Hall was always teetering with decommitting and flipping somewhere else. Just kind of was a little surprised. It was Ole Miss how quickly that happened, but probably something you shouldn't be surprised about when he's flirting with business that much.
Yeah, both of these guys, as we kind of pivot to Damari Dezern, both of these prospects had been rumored to be looking elsewhere for a little while now. And I think that with Trayvon Hall, there was maybe a little bit more optimism about the ability to keep him as part of the class. The Damari Dezern situation, I mean, we had been reporting on it at Sooners Illustrated for months and months at this point. And so I know there's a lot out there right now. I'm going to boil it down to just kind of a simple, unnecessary miscommunication that I think everyone's kind of moved on from. But what this, to me, boils down to is Damari Dezern had been looking at programs like UCLA and Texas and a couple of other programs closer to his neck of the woods. As time went on, it was like, okay, maybe he ends up sticking. But then Cal, and I've done the Cal thing before, Cal is – shout out to Cal, man. They're putting together a heck of a program with Tosh Lupoi at the helm, who I'm very high on. I think that guy's a stud. Cal, again, with the Jackson Stokes thing, kind of sunk its teeth into this recruitment and had a strong pitch for Damari Dezern. And I think one thing led to another, and inevitably Damari Dezern decommits and flips from Oklahoma to Cal. Not necessarily something that Oklahoma is blindsided by, right? Sure. And this was one that they had tried to fend things off for a while. I think whenever the decision had kind of ultimately been made, or you could kind of read the tea leaves here, it was like, okay, you know, it's something we've kind of been preparing for a little bit. And now moving forward, you get a Milan Green who, I mean, Damari Dezern is a really fast, dynamic athlete. Green, I'm not going to say cut from a similar cloth, but a somewhat reputable, you know, similar slot receiver type who can come in and make some of those explosive plays you were looking for from Dezern. So in the end, a lot going on that everyone had anticipated, but I think Oklahoma is okay with the end result. And Damari Dezern gets a really cool opportunity to go to a rising program like Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, like you said, I mean, you guys are both reporting on it. It felt like these both were possible for a while. So Brody's reporting on Hall for the last several weeks. It seemed like every weekend he was going out somewhere. It was like, oh, boy, you know. So it happens. You know, this is the way it goes. Like we said, it's you're not going to hang on to everyone the whole time. Is it ideal to lose two guys at the same spot, both that are, you know, pretty talented? No, but obviously Oklahoma will live. They'll move on. So two receivers in. Now obviously added Green, like you guys both said, maybe a third one at some point. We'll see how the rest of the, you know, fall goes, or the rest of the year goes, I should say. But yeah, pair of receivers off the board with Dezern and Trevon Hall since last time we were able to have a show. Before we go, do want to hit a couple other updates real quick as well. It was another obviously big visit weekend. A lot of guys were in town the last couple of days. You guys have been reporting all over it again. Sooners Illustrated, the place to be. These guys both have just been crushing it every day with tons of updates on kind of what's going on. But as far as for the podcast listeners here, I mean, just, you know, I know there's a few other names here you wanted to bring up. Go ahead and hit whatever direction you want to go on a couple of these other guys that were in town over the weekend as far as, you know, kind of what could be next, I guess, for Oklahoma, is the where the attention kind of goes now.
I think Trenton Blaylock's kind of where it starts, another cornerback. Yeah. Obviously, the younger brother of Torrey Blaylock. He has kind of a top three of Oklahoma, Texas, and Vanderbilt. And I think the Sooners, I mean, think they did a good job this weekend. We have notes over on the board that kind of go into detail about where things stand with him and kind of how I see it playing out. But like what they did with Trenton Blaylock and adding a fourth corner is something they want to do. And I think he's probably the most likely guy for that. So he was a big visitor that I think Oklahoma did a really good job with, because despite him being Torrey Blaylock's younger brother, this wasn't Oklahoma all the way. I mean, Texas has done a good job. Vanderbilt has done a good job. And so I think it was important for Oklahoma to have a good visit with him. And it sounds like that's what they were able to do.
Brody, kicking it back to you real quick before we get into the other two names we're going to talk about. Obviously, going into this visit weekend, it felt like Oklahoma was going to look at what's going on with Trenton Blaylock, what's going on with Brandon Sherrard. You've been reporting on both. Describe the dynamic here as Sherrard goes on his LSU visit this weekend, the same time Oklahoma's figuring out the Blaylock thing, the way that you look at those two recruitments, kind of dependent upon each other at this point.
Yeah, I think certainly. Because I think Brandon Sherrard, I mean, this is a top 200 player. This is a really talented player that if you can get, you're going to take him. But obviously, the LSU visit for a while, they were not confirming whether or not that was going to happen. That was a little up in the air. Thursday morning, they said, oh, we're going to LSU. We posted that over on the board, and it's like, he's taking the LSU visit. They're going to be tough to beat. I mean, Oklahoma came into the picture with Sherrard early May. You know, LSU had been in there for a long time. And so, you know, obviously, they have a really – that's – widely regarded as DBU. I mean, that's what a couple people in that recruitment have said, is it's just hard to beat out LSU for a cornerback. You know, that's what people are close to Sherrard are saying. So I think that this one is probably trending towards LSU. Still waiting to hear that final say. But, you know, if you're Oklahoma and you can get him, you got to take him. But if you're not going to get him, he's going to go to LSU. Which is kind of what I think will happen right now, unless Oklahoma is able to flip it again. I think you just go lock in Trenton Blaylock, who's, you know, a talented player himself. There's some versatility with him. You can play him at corner, you can play him at nickel. So I think that getting him, gets you that fourth DB. And so they do kind of depend on each other. I think if both of them were like, we want to go to Oklahoma, I think you probably just take them and figure it out. But, you know, I think there's a higher need for Trenton Blaylock if you're going to lose Brandon Sherrard to LSU. And with him taking that visit, that definitely is a possibility, probably a likely possibility. So we'll see how that plays out. But they did a good job with Blaylock, and I think that that's important as Sherrard took that LSU visit.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret. DBU, a place like LSU, and you've got Corey Raymond coaching right. The DBs, who's kind of one of the architects of that DBU reputation. You got Corey Raymond recruiting a guy, defensive back, and then just call it what it is, the level of investment behind the LSU program right now. I mean, that fan base is completely bought into the next chapter with Lane Kiffin, and Kiffin having someone like Corey Raymond to help him recruit DBs. I think it's tough for Oklahoma because you get in there and the buzz that we had heard coming out of the OU visit was like, hey man, this is real between Brandon Sherrard and Oklahoma. But I also come back to in the Sherrard recruitment before Oklahoma got involved and then during, Texas A&M was in there, Texas was in there, but those programs kind of came in and faded. Oklahoma comes in, LSU was constant, like Brody mentioned. And
well, and they have eight commits right now. Like they need to add some pieces, right? So I mean, it's like you mentioned the investment. They have only eight commits. They're going to look to add more. So I think it's probably LSU.
And so with that being out there, I mean, obviously Oklahoma put its best foot forward. I think that OU really impressed the family as well, right? And I think when you start to hear that feedback back, knowing someone like Trenton Blaylock, who's so familiar with your program, is on campus and starts indicating, hey, like I might be really interested in making this move. Then Oklahoma says, you know what? Let's pursue this guy, see if we can't lock this down. Obviously, Texas is still floating out there because Texas is still figuring out its cornerback situation. So while I think the Longhorns really made things interesting with Blaylock, I think Oklahoma is the favorite with him coming out of the weekend. And Brody can attest to this. We're expecting some final word from Blaylock over the next couple of days. So Texas and Oklahoma will hold their breath. Speaking of holding your breath, Brody, Penn State and Oklahoma have been holding their breath for months with Case Alexander, the linebacker out of Washington. Feels like we've all collectively kind of been holding our breath with this recruitment because even the programs involved have a hard time reading this guy. Talk about it, Brody, and I'll kind of share my feedback, but I don't really know that there's a whole lot that you can say about Case Alexander.
Well, I mean, before the visit posted this on the board, this one had always seemed like Penn State for a while, but Oklahoma over the last few weeks has really started to build some momentum quietly. Not necessarily that they've built momentum as the favorite, more so that there was a chance heading into the visit. That's what we felt. You know, he didn't commit to Penn State on that visit, and that was a big step in the right direction. You see, he went to Penn State the week before, doesn't commit, then he's going to OU. And they gave Oklahoma a chance, and I think they definitely have a chance. I mean, I think, you know, that this one is close to 50-50 right now. Is, you know, he's a tough kid to read. Sometimes you have that. I think he falls into that category, but I think Oklahoma has a shot. I don't know. This is probably one where I wouldn't want to say either way, because, you know, he's an in-state kid from right down the road at Washington, obviously. But then, you know, they're very familiar with that staff up at Penn State from when they were at Iowa State. And that's another thing. They're not at Iowa State anymore. They're at Penn State. But do you want to go all the way out to Penn State, or do you want to just stay at Oklahoma? I think it seems like this is going to be a tough decision for him. Another one that we're kind of expecting to wrap up over the next, you know, week or so, or maybe even sooner. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, but sounds like Oklahoma did a good job on the visit, just giving them a shot to land Alexander's commitment over Penn State.
Yeah, one thing that we haven't talked about here on the show but is very relevant to Oklahoma recruiting is that Gideon Gash, the four-star top 100 prospect, ends up committing to Texas Tech. And so the Red Raiders get that done. I know Oklahoma had its eyes on that visit as well because OU felt really good about it standing, but Texas Tech right now is Texas Tech, right? It's a wagon on the recruiting trail at times. And so with Gideon Gash off the board headed to Lubbock, I mean, I'm not going to say that that gives Oklahoma some flexibility, but maybe there's even more ability to push for someone like Case Alexander because you could pitch some time at linebacker. You could potentially pitch some time at Cheetah as an extension of the linebacker core. And then the ability to develop at those positions under Brent Venables and all these other linebacker staffers and the opportunity just down the road from you at Washington High, like it kind of aligned to where there's plenty to pitch to Case Alexander, his final official visit within, you know, state lines. I still think that this is a coin flip. If you tell me that, oh, we've got some breaking news here, gentlemen. Trenton Blaylock is committed to Oklahoma. There you go.
Wow. How about that? How about that?
Buy me some time while I run this story here, if you could.
Well, what a pickup. I mean, you know, this is a guy we've talked about for a long time, Trenton Blaylock, obviously, and you know, his younger brother, Torrey, and he's obviously a legacy with his dad. You know, this is a dude that we've talked about. You know, Oklahoma, you always feel good about Oklahoma with these, you know, familial connections, right? And the brothers and obviously with the dad, Derek, obviously. But, you know, you never would take it for granted. You guys both mentioned just a minute ago, like Texas was always kind of hovering here and right, certainly in the mix. And so, man, feels like a pretty huge get, right, to go into this class at that corner spot. That group we've been talking about for 2 years, how good they are at corner in 27 potentially. That's a huge deal. I mean, that's massive. So there you go, a little pod breaking news. I like it.
How about that, man? I get the notification. I'm like, all right, let me make sure the story goes up and all that good stuff. But yeah, man, a huge addition for Oklahoma. I mean, again, like I think going into this past weekend, it became pretty apparent that OU had a legitimate shot to close on a guy that, number one, with his older brother, Torrey, being there. But I also think what gets forgotten with this, too, is that Trenton Blaylock watched Torrey get recruited by Oklahoma. And so he's known about the true morals and program principles at Oklahoma for a long time. I think that if you are Oklahoma, I mean, the opportunity to get someone who, I mean, blazing fast speed, is running 10.56, 10.43 in the 100 meter, is part of a track and field program at Atascocita that is one of the best in the country, to be quite frank. And on top of that, you have someone who at 6'1", 175, 180 pounds, longer armed guy, can play corner, could potentially play some nickel, could play some safety as well. I mean, it made way too much sense. Obviously, Trenton Blaylock is looking around and looking at Texas, giving other programs a fair shot. But once he got there, I think it became obvious this was home for him. The opportunity to reunite with his older brother. It's a really cool move in the end. And I think that for Oklahoma, to get this locked up when it did look like Texas had an inside track at one point, really cool to see this thing come together this quickly. And now Oklahoma, three more commitments, guys, out of this final OV weekend. Heck of a stretch, even though we thought, hey, maybe it's a little bit more of a filled up summer. Fun to see some breaking news come across the table and see someone with family ties taking his career to Norman as well.
Big time stuff. I know we had a show, Colin, like, when was that? A few months ago, where we had five new commits to talk about. So four commits on this show is not quite the record, but quite a bit. Been a packed show and a little bit of instant reaction. That tells you how good Mr. Colin Kennedy is. He just gets the breaking news, gets the story up, doesn't miss a stride. He's ready to go for the show. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro.
I was going to say, hopefully what I just talked about made sense, because I'm like making sure the story goes up and everything, you know?
I got you out on Facebook. I got you out on Facebook. So we're good there. Got to get it to the Facebook peeps.
The listeners are getting a break, a look into the behind the scenes of like, hey, I got text alert, blah, blah, blah.
How the sausage is made. Well, how about that? Big time stuff. Add him into the class, that cornerback group, which we've talked about a long time. Like I said, a couple of years about how good they could be at cornerback. Osborne, Blaylock, McCreary, Davis. It's quite a group. Am I right? I mean, quite a group. That seems pretty darn good.
Brody, do you have any thoughts on Trenton Blaylock before I wrap it up here with another guy that Oklahoma's going to try to close on?
Another good addition. I mean, Josh mentioned it, the class at cornerback. You know, I just think it's really good to, you're going to maybe lose a Sherrard to LSU. Go get him in the boat. And this is another highly talented player. So I like what they've done with this cornerback room. You know, heck of a class for Lamar Morgan, and a good job by him to come in and land Gabe Osborne immediately and then go land Trenton Blaylock immediately, because this is not a player that's just Torrey Blaylock's younger brother. I mean, he's a really, really solid prospect himself.
I think that's important to mention too. As I kind of collect my thoughts here, text alert is out. One thing that was really cool is we had a interview up on SoonersIllustrated.com from Trent Blaylock during the spring contact period. And one of the questions that I had for Trenton Blaylock was, how was Oklahoma balancing recruiting you as Torrey Blaylock's brother versus Trenton Blaylock, the 2027 defensive back with a ton of talent as an individual? And he told me, he was like, look, Oklahoma has told me straight up, you need to go wherever is best for you. If that's here at Oklahoma, we will be ecstatic. If that is somewhere else, we will always be here for you as a resource because of the relationships between Blaylock, the Blaylock family, and Oklahoma's program. And so for the longest time, anytime Trenton was around OU staff, they made it clear, we want you because you are Trenton Blaylock, someone that we believe could play corner safety and nickel with speed and length and a lot of potential. But at the same time, we understand that if you see a better fit or trajectory for you, like, we're not going to be upset. And I think also Oklahoma was very transparent with Trenton Blaylock and saying, hey, like, we're not just saying this either. Like, we're going to explore our options as well, because we can't just assume that you are part of this class. Right. And so I think that this was a really mature and professional process, because obviously when you have family ties, it can get pretty emotional. I think all parties involved understood, hey, like, let's make sure we're all checking our boxes and going through this thing. And ultimately, it still led to the conclusion many of us had assumed would come whenever decision time would arrive. And so I think that it is cool that not only Oklahoma and OU's fan base gets to see another Blaylock come to Norman, like, Oklahoma knows Trenton Blaylock is coming to Oklahoma, not just because his brother is there or because he knows the staff. Trenton Blaylock wants to go to Oklahoma because he believes he can be the best version of himself as a defensive back at OU.
Good stuff. Absolutely. Colin, do you have one more update you want to get before we get out of here? I did not plan for this show.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, obviously you get flexible with the breaking news thing, so there you go. I think people will ask me about Jaden Fields, the 2027 defensive back athlete out of Hutto High. Shout out the Hutto Hippos. I believe I've worn my Hutto shirt here on the pod.
That is an awesome name. It's one of the best.
The Hutto Hippos, man, one of my favorite programs. Coach Reinhardt, my guy, was head coach there for a while. And Coach Reinhardt, who's moved on to the collegiate level, was someone who really put Jaden Fields on my radar. And I had known about him before. And Josh, I don't know if you remember, but Jaden Fields was at one of the camps that we were at last summer. And he got the Oklahoma offer roughly a year ago. And so he mentioned it in the story that I put together last night. He was excited to come back roughly a year later as an official visitor. And Jaden's younger brother, Carson Fields, also camped at Oklahoma this summer after Jaden camped at Oklahoma the summer, you know, last year. I've been a little bit more optimistic about Oklahoma's odds here than maybe even some people in the Switzer Center. And that's okay. You know, I like to be a glass half full guy for everybody.
Sure.
Look, I don't think it's any secret. I think the world of the SMU football staff, I think SMU has really done well. But at the same time, I think that the Fields family is keeping a very open mind, and they had taken trips to both SMU and Texas A&M. SMU likes him as a DB. Oklahoma likes him as a DB. Texas A&M is recruiting him as a receiver, which is an interesting layer to this recruitment. And on his visit at A&M, he spent a lot of time with A&M's offensive coordinator. At SMU, he obviously spent a ton of time with SMU's DB's coaches, Coach Hunley, Coach Ward, all those guys. And then at OU, I was told that Field spent a ton of time with Reggie Powers, which is interesting. And I also think, too, why I've kind of given Oklahoma a little bit more of a better shot, you know, he got to spend time with Mikhail McCreary. I've talked about it before. Mikhail McCreary, elite peer recruiter, helped get Jalen Scott in the mix, helped get a couple of other guys. And Mikhail and Jaden have known each other since, I mean, they were young. They trained together with BAM Performance. They have been 7-on-7 teammates with Juice. They've known each other a long time. And so Fields and McCreary got to hang out. Reggie Powers was his host. And this was actually brought up to me by someone at Oklahoma while we were out of camp. You know, OU has like 5 true scholarship safeties right now. Jandro, Peyton Bowen, Michael Boganowski, Omarion Robinson. It's not the deepest room from a true scholarship standpoint if you exclude the cheetah position. And so with Peyton Bowen set to head off for the NFL here soon, you've got Boganowski and Robinson, and then Markel Ford is in the mix with Jandro as well. Like, that is a position group that needs to add depth as well. I know we're talking about that a lot, but safety is one that, like, Oklahoma taking 3 guys is not out of the realm of possibility for me. And I think that Fields is one that Oklahoma is saying, hey, like, you come here, you're going to play an elite defensive structure, and you got a shot to play early and often in the SEC. And I think that Fields has been receptive to that message. I think SMU is constructing a similar pitch, just playing in the state of Texas, potentially playing early in the ACC. And then he's got an OV to TCU coming up this next weekend. And the Horned Frogs, I mean, another staff again. We love TCU here on this show for a few different reasons. I expect them to put a really enticing pitch together as well. So Oklahoma did a really good job on this visit. I think that OU has a shot. We'll see what happens on the TCOV. I still think SMU and Texas A&M are very much in it as well. And Fields told me last night he would like to roughly make a decision in July. So this one's got a little bit of time, not ruling out further pitches to be made. And we'll see how everything settles with this OV stretch wrapping up here pretty soon.
I think that one keeps getting more important, Jaden Fields. When you look at, I mean, obviously Jalen Scott took the Georgia Tech visit. It seems like he's pretty locked in, but Bodie Sparrow is not. He's not committed yet. Even if Oklahoma is still in a good spot, he's not in. So I think good to get Jaden Fields on campus and do a good job there. Obviously, he's a very solid prospect himself. And like Colin mentioned, I mean, the more depth you can add at that position that doesn't have a ton going on, I think it'd be great. So good on them to have a good visit with Jaden Fields. I think that recruitment to me just keeps getting more important as we keep going on.
Yeah, I keep tuning in and out, so hopefully I'm not repeating Brody here, but he mentioned it. It gets more important. Bodie Sparrow, I will say, Utah OV in the books. Brody can back me up. Utah has been a threat. BYU has been a threat. I still think Oklahoma's in a good spot, but number one, you know, Bodie's exploring his options, so you're pressing for Jaden Fields. Number two, with somewhat lack of depth plus the potential for guys to leave the safety room following the season, like the dream scenario in my opinion would be you get both Bodie Sparrow and Jaden Fields and you got three certified dudes at safety out of this cycle. I think Oklahoma's very aware of that, and that's why I think Jaden Fields, even though the likes of an SMU and others are certainly out there, I think Oklahoma can put a really strong pitch together for this guy, even with Bodie Sparrow. And if you could potentially package those two and Jalen Scott, I mean, that would be a heck of a haul coming out of this 27 cycle.
All right. Good stuff, guys. We had a lot to get to. Long show with some breaking news mixed in there. But yeah, I think we covered just about everything we can. Good stuff though.
I hope so.
Yeah. No kidding. Good stuff. Obviously, again, plug in the Sooners Illustrated. Use that promo code, SoonersPod60. Be sure to be with us. These guys are reporting on stuff every single day. More to come, obviously, over the rest of the summer. And as far as team stuff, we got media days coming up. Fall camp's not that far away. So to dive in. And I'm here in Omaha with Boots on the Ground coverage for the College World Series. We got a lot going on for June, especially. It seems like a lot.
Illustrated.
So be with us every day. Like I said, Tom and I will probably circle back later in the week. Probably Thursday or Friday, depending on kind of the schedule with OU with baseball. But we'll hit a show later this week, kind of wrap up some baseball stuff and maybe some other things. So keep an eye out for that. But that's it for now, I believe. For Brody Lusk, Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Calloway. Appreciate everyone tuning in. As always, we'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.